can't promise much, but I can promise that there will be better days.
Hello, and welcome to Letters from the Lunchroom, a podcast by Communities and Schools of MidAmerica. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Communities and Schools is a nationwide nonprofit which connects students and their families to local resources in order to remove barriers so that they will have greater success in school and in life. During this podcast, we talk to people who have a relationship with our organization. From students to staff members and alumni to volunteers, we know that people who connect with nonprofits have a story that led them there, and we want to know that story. Today, we are talking with one of our community partners from Emporia, Kansas. Community partners are incredibly important to this organization. In fact, Communities and Schools would not exist without the support that we receive from our community partners. Our story begins in the 1970s when our founder, Bill Milliken, came up with the idea of bringing community resources inside public schools where they are accessible, coordinated, and accountable. He believes that, quote, "it's relationships, not programs, that change children," end quote. He goes on to state that, quote, "a great program simply creates the environment for healthy relationships to form between adults and children. Young people thrive when adults care about this on the one-to-one level, and then when they have that sense of belonging to a caring community," end quote. This is accomplished by our connections and relationships with community partners. These partners do whatever it takes to help us give students whatever they need to overcome barriers preventing them from being successful in school and achieving in life. Communities and Schools of MidAmerica works with nearly 800 community partners in order to keep local resources flowing into the schools where they can be most accessible to students. Some of our community partners are other nonprofits who work with us to provide direct support services as needed. Other partners are local businesses who support our mission with financial support and goods. Sometimes we meet a really special community partner who provides us with both financial support as well as goods. Today's guest is one of those special partners. I first met Nick Roth when I called him to see if he would be interested in becoming a sponsor for a first-time fundraiser that I was hosting. He welcomed the meeting, and when I sat down to tell him more about the sponsorship opportunity, it became clear that he was someone who had a history of giving back to his community. Nick works for Prairieland Partners, the largest John Deere dealership in South Central Kansas. They believe that, quote, "great things can happen when you work together," end quote. And that thought falls right in line with the Communities and Schools mission. From that first meeting, Nick went from being someone who was new to Communities and Schools to being the event sponsor for our first major fundraising event held in the Central Kansas area. Please stay tuned as we welcome Nick Roth to the Lunchroom. Okay, so I do want to welcome you to the podcast, and thank you so much for taking time out and agreeing to be on the podcast. I'm really looking forward to learning more about you and kind of hearing about what it is that made you so passionate about helping people. Have you ever been on a podcast before?
I never have, no.
Do you listen to podcasts?
I do.
Have you listened to this one?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Maybe your episode will be the jumping off point then.
Yeah.
Cool. So I wanted to bring you on this podcast and talk to you for a couple of reasons. One of those being that whenever I sat down and met with you for the very first time, it was to talk to you about being a sponsor for the Big Chill, which was the fundraising race that we did here in Emporia, Kansas. And you kind of shared a little bit about your passions for helping people. And it sounded like some of that stemmed from your parents and the way you were raised. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was brought up with both my parents were farm kids turned therapists. Mm-hmm. And my mom was a social worker for several years. And my dad was a clinical therapist for several years. And And, you know, growing up, they just really worked really hard with me and my siblings on the importance of taking care of others in our communities, in our societies that are definitely less fortunate too. So
how did they do that? Like, were there certain things that you guys would do together as a family?
Yep, there were certain things that we would do as a family. You know, we would a lot of it was through some youth groups in our church. But my dad, we would go down as a family and work in the soup kitchen where I'm from in Salina, Kansas. You know, my mom did a wonderful job when we were out in public, helping us recognize people that were in need. Mm-hmm. And the appropriate ways to help them.
So what are some ways besides the soup kitchen did you guys help people that were in need?
You know, we did a lot for youth, as far as helping them with clothing, you know, everyday supplies that they need. I remember making a lot of shoe boxes, filling them up with some food and you know, small food and bathroom toiletries, mm-hmm. and you know, working with our local schools, and you know, anything that they may need as well.
Interesting. And did you know that we have communities and schools in Salina now?
No, I did not know that.
Yeah, it's at the high school there, the Salina Central High School, and then it's also at Lakewood Middle School.
That's where Salina Central is where I graduated from.
Oh, well, fantastic. Well, if you're ever back in your stopping grounds, you should definitely stop by and say hi to that CIS site coordinator there.
I will make sure to do that.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So before I sat down and talked with you, gosh, I think that was like July of this year.
Mm-hmm.
Had you heard of communities and schools before?
I have not. No, I did not.
Interesting.
Yep.
So you kind of just jumped in then. You were like, yeah, you guys are helping kids and I like helping youth. So I'll help you guys help youth. Is that just kind of the
end of it? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was something like that is a program like that's a no-brainer for me.
Yeah. So do you, this is kind of a weird question, but do you feel like you know communities and schools now?
Much better.
Okay, cool. because usually most of the people that I've talked to on this podcast are people that are staff members or board members and have like this sort of like history with us, but you are relatively new to being a partner with us and you're a community partner, which is kind of different as well. Although if you're ever into like doing some volunteer work, we'd love to have you. So one of the things that's kind of cool about communities and schools that you may not know is that we just expanded into Emporia High School.
No, I did not know that.
Yes, because whenever I talked to you back in July, we were just in two elementary schools here in Emporia, and then we just did our final hiring for the site coordinator for the high school this morning.
Congratulations. That's huge.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So next up is to get the middle school so we can have a full feeder system.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is huge.
Yeah. I'm really, really excited because my passion whenever it comes to putting communities and schools into new districts is to start at the top and work down.
Sure.
And so to go into the high school and then the middle school and then the elementary schools. And it's mm-hmm. not because I don't think the elementary school kids need help, because I absolutely believe that they do. But I do feel like elementary school kids have different supports available to them than high school kids, mm-hmm. where high school kids are old enough that a lot of people tend to just like wipe their hands clean and they're like, you know, you're old enough to go do it on your own. But that's not fair because they're still kids and they're still in school and we have that expectation of them as well.
Yes, it's kind of a you guys are old enough, you should figure it out.
Yeah, which is right? Which is really yeah. tough thing to put on, you sure. know, somebody who's 16 or 17 and, you know, they're like, well, I need to do well in school, but I also need to, you know, help keep utilities on in my house. And uh-huh. I just think that's kind of an unfair thing to ask of our kids. So I love to put CIS in the high schools so that they have that additional person to be their advocate and, you know, just kind of have their back and help their family get resources so that it doesn't fall on this kid to find the resources for their family.
Great. Yeah. Man, that's huge.
Yeah. So as you are thinking about, you know, the other things that you are involved with in regards to your passions, I know that, you know, you grew up with a family, like you were saying, that helps you out, helped kind of lead you on the path. But at the same time, lots of us have families who tried to put us on a path, but yet our passions didn't really connect to that. So is there something more inside you that really connects you to wanting to help youth? And is it just youth, or do you have a...
You know, I'll tell you what, my dad, I'll tell you where it's at inside of me here. My father, when he graduated from high school, married my mother a month later.
Oh, wow.
And they went and got their, he went and got a pastor's certificate and wanted to pursue that profession. And they had three kids. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, he decided that therapy, he was going to change directions, and therapy was the direction that he wanted to go. And so he put himself through college with a wife and three children, and we didn't have a lot of money. We didn't have a lot of luxuries, you know, growing up. We as kids, my parents did a great job. We didn't know it. I've learned a lot of these stories after the fact. And they've shared with me many stories of local people in their community showing up at the house with groceries.
Oh, wow.
Just because they heard that we were struggling with food. And through the grapevine, or maybe they just had a hunch. One time, a lady noticed that my sisters wore their shoes out and had continued to wear them. And she showed up with two new pairs of shoes. You know, so through that, those experiences, hearing about them, because again, when I was that young, you know, I thought everything was great. You know, and my dad was working two jobs and going to school full time. My mom was taking night classes, and they got through it and went on to have very successful careers. But it wouldn't have been possible without the help from their communities, because they moved away far from where they're from, you know, so it's not like they had family down the road or anything.
Yeah.
It was just us five, and it was that way for several years, and it definitely brought us real close. So that is where it's at inside of me to help others. It's kind of a passion. That's where that passion comes from. Mm-hmm.
That makes a lot of sense. And it's actually, it's kind of shocking because, you know, hearing you say that you had people that would just show up at your door with food because they heard that you guys were, you know, in need, or, you know, the woman who bought mm-hmm. your sister's shoes. That's something that we sadly don't hear very often. You know,
no, we don't. We don't.
That's really saddening.
it does. I do believe that it happens. I'm hoping that it happens more than you think. I think a lot of those folks that step up in that way, they're very humbled souls, and I truly believe that they don't need any recognition, and they're not out to look for
it. I 100% agree.
And so that's why we don't probably don't hear about it as
well. Yeah, you're right. I'm just thinking about, you know, the kids that we work with and how how much they would really benefit. And so, you know, that's what the site coordinator ends up doing, is being that person, which, you know, you said it, like, you were like, you know, we couldn't have done it as well as we did it without the help of our community. And every time I hear someone use that word, it just makes me smile, because that's what we do. You know, we put that community, we bring it into the schools, and we connect those students who have the needs and their families with the community resources so that we can act as that person. But gosh, I really hope someone who hears this kind of gets inspired to be that person and to do some of those acts of kindness, you know?
Absolutely.
Because so many of us, we live in ways that we have a little extra, you know, to give. Mm-hmm. And especially mm-hmm. like right now, you know, we're recording this the week before Christmas. And, you know, I know that I have to check myself, because I'm like, oh, you know, I should buy, you know, more gifts for my daughter or something. But then I think, you know what, I could take that money and instead, you know, invest it into giving it to somebody who, you know, might need some groceries, which is really sweet.
Absolutely.
Because that makes such a difference. And I think that mm-hmm. also on top of that, just like your parents who were helping people, then it shows the next generation, you know, to hopefully encourage them to help people. And there's so many different ways, because as I was thinking earlier, and I was talking to you about the other areas that your passions are in, I know that you are not the type of person who just, you know, uses their business platform to become a community partner for a nonprofit. But I have also seen you at our local mental health facility helping out there, because I help out there too. And so you're volunteering your time.
Yes. Yes. I think we need more of that. I mean, that's what community is at the end of the day.
It really is. You know, it's thinking outside yourself and how can you help those around you? And, you know, sometimes the problem might seem like it's too big, but it really isn't. It's just helping. It's one person helping one person is where it starts. And then maybe you can help another person and another person. And then maybe you also inspire somebody and that was unexpected. So I think that's great. That's why I really love talking to people on these podcasts, is to hear, you know, what are they doing and what inspired them to get involved with different nonprofits, because nobody just does it for the glory, like you were saying, and nobody does it for the money.
That's exactly right.
But you do it, you know, because of something else. And so I like to kind of get at that root of what is that something else. So I'm curious, and all of the volunteering and supporting that you've done of not different nonprofits, have you had any particularly like awesome feel good success stories that you wouldn't mind sharing?
Wow. You know, I tell you one that goes way back, the kind of, and there's several, but one in particular is the, there's a program in town, and I know I'm not, the Backpack for Kids?
Food
for Kids. Yes. I would have to say it's probably been 10 years ago. But we got involved in volunteering with that. And then seeing those go out and understanding, learning a lot about our community, and then seeing kids with those backpacks. Mm-hmm. That was huge.
So
that was one that really set.
So let's kind of delve into that, because I think that there are people who might be listening to this podcast who don't know what Food for Students is, and they might like be like, oh, backpacks for kids. Like, what exactly is that? And so Food for Students, for those of you who don't know, is located here in Emporia, Kansas, because that is where Nick and I both at least spend our working hours. I also live here in Emporia. And so even though we record with people all over the Mid-America network, today we're talking to someone who's local. So probably a lot of our stuff will be local talk. But Food for Students is here in Emporia, and it provides weekend food for students K through 12. And it provides it to the bottom 2%, last time I remember hearing, was the bottom 2% of the most neediest students. And so those are students who are already receiving free and reduced lunches. Probably at that point, they're free lunches, because these are the neediest kids. But they are living in homes that are so food insecure that they need to have additional food through the weekend. And so it's really great. They get together once a week, or is it once a month? How often did they get together, Nick?
It was once a month when I was doing it. And we just did it a couple times as volunteers. But it was just, it was a program. And I think learning more about our community and some of the struggles was what really stuck with me.
That's actually so true, because I think that's a lot of people might also not realize that there are people in their own community who are struggling with really real challenges. There are kids in most high schools that are struggling with homelessness. And you could be in a very, very small rural community and realize, oh, that doesn't happen here, but it does. Kids that are dealing with some very, very tough problems and expected to come to school and perform really well and behave well. And then, they get in trouble when they're misbehaving, but the truth is they're misbehaving because they're dealing with, maybe a parent that recently got incarcerated, or they haven't eaten in, 16 hours and they're just really hungry. So I would love to see more compassion and understanding and less quick judgment. That would be great. And yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I love that you brought up the Food for Students program, because we definitely work with them to help make sure that the kids are getting their food. And I've been a big fan of them. I've volunteered with them before. It's always really impressive how many volunteers they get in. It's one of the most successful volunteering programs I have ever seen in all of the places that I've done volunteer work, is just loads of volunteers. it's to the point where they legitimately have like too many volunteers at an event. And you're like, well, I guess I'll come back next month. But that's crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
In Emporia, one thing I've learned, you were just talking about having too many volunteers. The thing about our community that I've noticed is that it is very strong. The volunteer presence in our community is growing and getting stronger. I've been here for about 13 years now, and just amazes me. All the nonprofit organizations and the different programs that are going on for people. We're discussing children a lot, in this podcast, but there's a lot of senior citizens that are really struggling with all of the same issues. And we've got programs, Meals on Wheels, and a lot of different programs helping them out that aren't looking for any recognition either. And so it's kind of humbling to know that, yes, we need more and we need more help, but there is a lot
that's
happening.
So true. In fact, I have a friend who, I think it was last year, or the year before, it must be at least the year before, started up a new nonprofit that is suicide awareness and prevention, Beacon for Hope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, so that's a new nonprofit to the area. Communities and Schools is fairly new to the Emporia area. And to see the community wrap their arms around these nonprofits and say, you know what, thank you for coming here and helping, fill this niche that there are still needs within that need to be addressed. And I think that's really, really great. And we also had, there's that new homeless shelter sort of setup that the churches are doing, I think is great. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Yes. And it's not that, Emporia has any different needs than any other place. I mean, it's just the same as any other community. I just that it's pretty cool to see the way that Emporia treats community. And it's,
And so here, just, and it, like I said, I came here in 2005, and the growth that we've seen in those departments has just been, I think it's been significant since I've been here. Like you said, the suicide recognition and awareness, I've started to learn a lot about that. A very, very close friend of mine committed suicide back in 2013. And from what I've learned through that whole process and the community's engagement here has just been huge, So it's just kind of all around. That's right.
Welcome back. As part of our show, we ask each guest to write a letter to the students that Communities and Schools serves. The only guideline they are given is that it must come from the heart, and we also warn them that they will be asked to read their letter aloud during the podcast. Sometimes, however, that doesn't happen. In this case, whenever I talked to Nick and I asked him about his letter, he went, "Oh no, I didn't write a letter." So hang tight and you'll hear exactly what happened and what he ended up saying. It's really, really beautiful. So one of the things that I asked you to do was to write a letter to our students. Is that something that you brought with you? I hear you clicking around.
No, it wasn't.
You didn't write a letter?
I did not.
Oh, no, Nick. Okay.
Well, I know. That's
now you're
going
to have to ad-lib it.
I will definitely do whatever I got to do to make it up to you on that one.
This is generally the way that the letters go, because we do ask people to write a letter to our students, and then they're letters that would be telling the student really whatever you want them to know. Sometimes the letters are, you know, I came from, like, I know I've been where you are, or they're encouraging, they're supportive, that kind of stuff. So one of the things, I guess, in lieu of a letter, is if you had some words of advice to give the students that we help, which are those students who are the most at risk, who need that caring person to come in and help take away some of those barriers, what are some words of advice that you would give them?
You know, one of the things that, that comes to mind is that I can't promise much, but I can promise that there will be better days. And it, even though the times are tough, you know, continuing to pick your head up and trust those that are there to help you. Trust those in this organization, Victoria, that you're representing, and trust those that are there to help you, to get you on the right track. And I can tell you so many people, my parents are just an example, those that, have fought through some hard times and were open arms to receiving help. And because of that help, and trust that they had in others, they are where they are today. Very successful in every aspect of their lives, you know, and that's the most thing. I mean, my heart goes out to all of you, that are, in the situations you're in and dealing with what you're dealing with. But again, just please understand and just please trust these organizations and these individuals that are there to help you, and grab their hand and take it and pull your head up. It'll get better.
Excellent. Thank you, Nick. And I really appreciate that, because from the Communities and Schools point of view, one of the most difficult things that we have to do is establish that relationship with the students and get that trust. So to have somebody say, please, you know, trust them. We are here to help. We will not judge. We just want to help you achieve the goals and dreams that you have. And we'll do whatever it takes to help you get to where you are. So, yeah,
absolutely. No, that's huge. You know, my mother was a social worker for several years, and she worked with young children, and she's got a lot of stories that'll just make you make you break down in tears immediately. And one of her biggest obstacles was getting those little guys to trust her, so she could put them in a better
place.
What
age group did she work with?
So, all ages throughout her career, but her original age group was that grade school, early grade school, mm-hmm. kindergarten through mm-hmm. third grade, I believe, and some pretty bad places, you know.
Yeah, so. I've been working in nonprofits for about 10 years now, and in this particular field for over 4 years, and I'm still hearing stories that shock me to the core and break my heart. Things that I didn't realize. I guess I was just being naive, thinking that kids of such young age could be contemplating, you know, experiencing, and it's so sad. So I'm so grateful. And that's why I do what I do every day, is because I can't not, you know?
Well, yeah, you know, and hats off to you and your staff for what you guys do. I mean, I can't imagine you guys, your strength and your drive is phenomenal. And, I applaud each and every one of you for that. It makes me, I get tired thinking about it.
I think that one of the things that helps is that we each are in our own roles that work best for us. You know, I don't work in the field. Mm-hmm. There are members on my team that are site coordinators that work directly in the field. I work behind the scenes. I do grant writing. I do communications and marketing. I talk to community partners. That's where I do my work. If I had to work in the field every day, mm-hmm. I don't know that I have that type of strength, but I have really, really great teammates. Who do. And I'm so grateful for them because they are the true superheroes. They're just amazing.
Right. Absolutely. You know, I tell you, going back to that food for for kids, food for students, I believe.
I think it's food for students. It could be either one. I don't remember which one it is now.
Yep. Going back to that, you know, I think they told us an example of one of the backpacks with food and supplies in it that the little kid kept, the child was coming back for more, and they ended up finding out that his own parents were taking it. And I'll never forget hearing that, because I swallowed the biggest lump in my throat, and just blew me away that the kid was receiving these care packages, but the child kept coming back to school, and the teacher kept noticing that they were disappearing, and they came to find out that mom and dad, in whatever state they were in, were taking them as soon as the child got home, and he was getting small rations, if anything, out of it. So It's just I think if reality hit our communities even deeper, and people really truly had, the majority understood what was really going on, I think, you know, this thing would even would grow even more.
I agree, but I do think I'm very happy with the growth that we've been doing in our community, and yeah, it's pretty amazing. So it's a great place to live, no matter what your situation is at home.
Yes, it is.
I want to thank Nick for taking the time to talk with us today. You can find more information about Prairieland Partners at prairielandpartners.com. Since we have so many great community partners throughout our network, I wanted to take a moment to share an additional story of another one of our partners located here in Emporia, Kansas. Debbie and Paul Challender are local business owners in Emporia who have become a major community partner supporting our programming at Walnut Elementary School. There is no limit to where they will fill a need. They have given soup to go along with the Subway Bread program. They have provided new clothes and shoes for students in need. They have purchased holiday turkeys, hams, and pies for low-income families. They filled the school snack cupboard and have also contributed financially to the support of the CIS program. To say that the Challenders have the biggest hearts would be an understatement. Quote, "I wish there would have been a program like this when I was growing up. Academics are important, but there is so much more that children really need," end quote. Debbie Challender went on to state, "When you look good, you feel good. Every child deserves to have a new outfit or a new pair of shoes to feel good about." Debbie and Paul have made numerous donations throughout the school year and continue to donate even after the school year is over. Quote, "Students can't learn anything when they are hungry. We enjoy supplying CIS with snacks for students whenever they need one and helping families put food on the table at home, said Paul. Like most community partners, the Challengers don't do this in order to get recognition for their donations. They just enjoy knowing that they are supporting a program that helps students. Although the site coordinator at Walnut Elementary School tells the Challengers how much their contributions are appreciated and how much they are positively affecting the lives of our students, it doesn't quite convey how many smiles the site coordinator sees on the faces of the students or how much relief has been provided to the families we serve. According to the Challengers, when the children are happy, the Challengers are happy. We think that the Challengers should be very happy then. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Letters from the Lunchroom. For more information on Communities and Schools of Mid-America, including how to become a community partner, please check out our website at cismidamerica.org. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast and follow us on social media at CIS Mid-America. I'm your host, Victoria Partridge. Until next time, class is dismissed.